Well, welcome. Welcome to Living Hope. It's so good to have you here. I am Pastor Ron, and been looking forward to sharing with you again this morning. Molly and I were away last weekend. Some of you noticed that or saw that in the bulletin. We just got one weekend away to go down and visit some family in Virginia, so we had a really good time there. It's good to be back again this morning. Greg Hershberger did a fantastic job last Sunday. I got to listen to his message through the week, and his reminder to each of you, if you are here, is that we are more than conquerors, and we're in this little, as you may remember, as we approached the Easter holiday, the Resurrection Sunday holiday, we took 4 weeks to focus on the cross, and I suggested at one point that I think we do that as we come up to Easter. We put a lot of attention on the cross, but then resurrection morning hits, and then we kind of go on with our other whatever we do, and we don't spend a lot of time on the cross. So I've been a little more intentional this year that we want to kind of dial in a little bit more, maybe, than we normally do. So that's why Greg brought that message last week. And this morning is kind of a weird message in terms of Easter anyway. So anyway, I'll get to that in a minute. Hopefully God uses it, but I think it's a little out of the ordinary. But anyway, before we start, I want you to listen to a sermon clip from someone else just to kind of set the stage for the morning. And it's about 3 minutes long or so. So go ahead, Wes, and run that if you would, please. Some of you are probably familiar with this. You've heard it before, maybe pieces of it.
It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is asleep. Judas is betraying, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sundays are coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sundays come. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary. His blood dripping. His body stumbling, and his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning, and evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My King yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered. And Satan's just a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard. and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a coming.
How many of you have heard either that, like part of that, or even that phrase before? It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. You've heard that before? A lot of you have heard that before. When the church talks about the resurrection, when we talk about Easter, we talk about Friday and we talk about Sunday. A lot of attention to Friday and a lot of attention to Sunday. And now you're looking at this really bizarre graphic on the screen behind me that says Saturday. Have you ever heard a sermon about Easter Saturday? There's one brave soul. This is where it gets weird. Not really, but I want to talk about Saturday. Friday, Sunday, and now we have Saturday. I don't know if you looked at the notes yet in your program. If you did, you probably had to stop yourself from laughing by the deep and profound things that are written at the top of your notes. Let's say this. Saturday is the day after Friday, but the day before Sunday. Now, are you with me? Let me repeat that. This is very deep. Saturday is the day after Friday, but the day before Sunday. Were you aware of that, church? Now here's the next deep and profound comment. On Saturday, Friday's events are history, but Sunday's events haven't happened yet. The last one. On Saturday, Friday's events are known, but their impact on Sunday is not yet clear. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to reach into that Easter weekend, and we're going to reach into the middle day, we're going to reach into Saturday, and we're going to push the pause button. And try to imagine for a moment, to the degree that we can, that we are there on Saturday. What has happened on Friday is done now. It's finished. Horrible, terrible, just unmentionable Friday, and it is now Saturday. Sunday isn't here yet. Sunday isn't here yet. Probably one of the reasons that we don't talk much about Saturday, and I'm talking about Saturday in the natural. There's a lot of conversation and opinions about what Jesus was doing between the crucifixion and the resurrection, in the spirit realm. We're not going to get into that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in the plain natural, what was happening? What were the disciples doing? What were they thinking? What were the women doing? What were they thinking? What was going on Saturday? Probably the reason you don't hear much about it, I've only been able to find two scriptures in the Gospels that actually address that day. I've only been able to find two. Now, if you find some others or are aware of others, please let me know. But let's look at them. Turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew is the first gospel in the first book of the New Testament, the first gospel. All morning will be in the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So if you want to go ahead and find Matthew, we'll look at these two verses. Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 62. If you have an NIV, this section is titled The Guard at the Tomb. Verse 62 of Matthew 27 starts out this way: the next day. Everything up to this point was talking about the crucifixion, the burial of Jesus, but these next verses now say the next day, the one after preparation day. Jesus was crucified on preparation day. As you read through that, you'll see that reference several times in the Gospels. But on the next day, now this would be Saturday. The chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, the deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. In verse 65, "Go make a tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. Do you remember that part of the Easter story? That the Pharisees were concerned that the disciples were going to fake a resurrection by stealing the body of Jesus. So they went to Pilate and they said, "Look, you can't let this happen. You got to put a guard there." So there we have a little window into one thing that happened on Saturday. The only other one I could find is in Luke. If you just go over to Luke, if you're in Matthew, you go back towards the back of your Bible, two books, and find yourself in Luke. Luke 23. This is just one verse. This is just one verse. I'll start at verse 50. This is talking about Jesus' burial, which of course would have been on Friday. Now there was a man from Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut by the rock, one in which no one had been laid. It was preparation day. There's that phrase again. It was preparation day. That was the day that Jesus was crucified. It was preparation day. And the Sabbath was about to begin. See, with Jesus being crucified on Friday, the Sabbath was Saturday. Saturday remains the Sabbath in the Jewish faith. That is the seventh day of the week. So the Sabbath was about to begin. Now notice verse 55. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Here it is, verse 56. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfume. That was for embalming. Here it is. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. That is the only scripture I could find that actually tells us directly something that was happening among the followers of Jesus. Now there's another one I'll use a little bit later that gives us a pretty clear picture also. But we see the women now basically doing nothing on Saturday because Saturday was the Sabbath. You weren't really supposed to be doing much on Saturday. So you have this day in between. You have this day in between. So that's what I titled the message, Saturday, the time in between. That was the title of the song we were playing as the kids were going out. I don't know if any of you caught that or not. But this time in between. All right, so where are we going with this? Saturday is the term I want to use this morning that not only describes a day, but it could be a season between something happening. Maybe it's unexpected. Maybe it's very difficult. Maybe it's very exciting. But this phrase Saturday for this morning is the time between something happening and that thing coming to the fullness that God intends, or for joy to come through that, or for understanding to come. Does that make sense? This season between something that happens here and a point over here where we feel like, okay, now we really see what's going on, or now we really understand it. Saturday, the data is not all in yet. We don't know really what's happening yet. Something happened on Friday. Again, stay with me in this analogy here. Something happens on Friday, but Saturday we're not quite sure. We try to be positive, but that's difficult at times. Let's just take some very, very familiar, I think to many of you, examples from Scripture of what I would call Saturday seasons in someone's life, a Saturday season. Abraham. Remember the story of Abraham? Actually starts out Abram. God promises him descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky. One little problem, he and his wife are unable to have children. So there is this season in their life where God has given a promise, but the promise has not come to bear yet. The promise is not a reality yet. So they're in this waiting time, this time in between what God said and the actual happening. What about Joseph? Remember the story of Joseph, one of 12 sons of Jacob, who Jacob's name was later changed to Israel. But Joseph was a young man that had a dream that his brothers would bow down to him. Now, when he shared this dream with his brothers, if you remember the story, it didn't go that well. Actually, they were furious with him, and they sold him into slavery. There was a 20-year Saturday season between the vision and the moment when his brothers bowed down before him. Roughly 20, maybe just one or two more or less. So you have the dream here, but for Joseph, it was 20 years later. What about Moses? Moses, you remember the story, was born to an Israelite family. They hid him in the river there in a basket, and he was rescued by Pharaoh's daughter. He was raised in the house of Pharaoh, strong, mighty leader guy. At the age of 40, he goes out, and it seems like he's trying to step out in this leadership role at the age of 40. Well, he ends up killing somebody, he makes a mess, and he has to flee. 40 years he spends in the desert. 40 years tending sheep. Until God one day appears to him in a burning bush and said, now it's time, Moses. 40 years. The children of Israel had a 40-year Saturday season. From the time when God led them from Israel, he said, I'm taking you to the promised land. They arrived at the promised land 40 years later. Now, there's a lot to that story. There's reasons behind all that. 40 years. What about David? David was anointed by Samuel to be the king of Israel at a point in his life where his father did not even respect him enough to invite him to the banquet where a king was going to be chosen. He was looked down on by his brothers. He was made fun of by his brothers. David got to a point, though, where he actually had this great victory in a battle against Goliath. Still nothing. Saul was still king. David had to just linger on year after year after year until God said, now is the time when what Samuel anointed you for is actually going to happen. It was a long Saturday season. So I hope you're with me now. This concept of a Saturday between maybe a promise or a start of a new venture followed by this Saturday season of not quite sure how everything's going to turn out. Let's look at the scriptures now again about this actual Saturday between the crucifixion and the resurrection to just make a few points. These are in your notes. Saturdays or Saturday seasons can be times of confusion. Let's go to Luke. You're probably still there. All right. If you were in Luke already, we're going to just look at a verse in Luke 24. Now, I'm now jumping over to a verse that's happening on Sunday, okay? But it's before people became aware, or at least everybody became aware of what happened. Notice, do you remember the story about Jesus walking with two men on the road to Emmaus? We're just going to dial into that real quickly here. Luke 24:13. Now that same day, two followers of Jesus, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking about each other. Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I went to the wrong... I jumped ahead too far. 24:11. I jumped ahead too far. We're at 24:11. This is earlier on Sunday. Remember the women went to the tomb. They discovered that the body was missing. Let's just go to verse 9. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. Notice verse 11. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. The disciples were in this state of confusion And we'll talk more about that later. What made sense to them on Wednesday and Thursday was completely blown apart on Friday. Now here they are on Saturday, and this verse spills over into Sunday morning, and they just don't know what to think about anything. And here the women bring this news that, hey, the Savior has been risen. His body is gone, at least they say that much. But they don't know how to process that. They don't know how to factor through that. When you're in a Saturday season of waiting, or when things haven't quite fallen into place, it's easy to be confused. You don't quite know how to process data when you hear it. That's something that can happen. Here's something else that can happen on a Saturday. Saturday can be times of forgetfulness. Now we're going to go back to where we were in Matthew 27, just to make a couple things here. Remember I said this was one of the verses where something is recorded that was taking place on Saturday, the day between the crucifixion and the resurrection. We read here how the Pharisees went to Pilate and said, "We want you to give orders that the tomb be made secure." Here's a question. How could it be that the Pharisees remembered that Jesus said he was going to rise from the dead, but the disciples didn't? The Pharisees remembered what Jesus said, but the disciples didn't. Because on Sunday, when the message came that the tomb was empty, not one of them said, "Oh yeah, that's right, we knew that was going to happen. This is just a fulfillment of..." Not one of them said that. But the Pharisees remembered that. Did Jesus share this with the disciples? Did he tell them at any point about what was going to happen to him? Did he? He did. You remember the time when Jesus asked the disciples, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they all gave their answers. You know, some say John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the prophets. And then Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, You are the Christ, the Son of God. And the scripture says, this is in Matthew 16, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised on the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.'" One of the things that causes confusion in a Saturday season is we forget what God said on Friday or even before Friday. God will call you to something new. He'll call you to step out in faith. But when it starts getting difficult and it stops making sense, we can forget what he actually said. We can forget what he actually said. The Pharisees remembered, but the disciples didn't. They forgot. So we want to be aware of this thing of forgetfulness. Another note, just take note here, that the enemy, in this case the Pharisees, is very active on Saturday. In a Saturday season. The enemy is active in a Saturday season, wanting to bring confusion, wanting to bring all kinds of chaos. Let's keep working through here. This is what else happens on a Saturday. Now we go back to Luke 24 again, the verse I started reading a minute ago. This is the men that were on their way to Emmaus. Verse 13 says this: "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him." They were actually talking to Jesus, but they didn't realize it. "And one of them they stood still with their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem, and you do not know the things that have happened in these days?" "What things?" Jesus said to them. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed them over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him." Catch verse 21. "But we had hoped." We had hoped. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. What does their language say? What does it mean, Cody, when they say, "We had hoped that he was going to"? They spoke of hope in a past tense. What does that say about them now? They had given up hope. They had nothing left to hope in. They had nothing left to hope in. They had become hopeless. I was thinking through this again this morning, and we cannot overstate what kind of mess the disciples were in. You only have to roll the clock back 1 week. Remember Palm Sunday? The triumphal entry? You know what was going on in their mind on that Sunday. This is what they had to be thinking. It would seem to me that they're thinking, finally, after 3 years of following this guy, all kinds of resistance, all kinds of death threats, you know, living in holes and, you know, never having enough to eat. That's an exaggeration, I'm sure, but they've been on this journey. They had to be thinking on Sunday, that Sunday, that finally the plan is coming together. Finally, the things that are supposed to be happening are happening. Jesus is now going to ascend to a throne. The Romans are going to be squashed. Israel's going to move into this wonderful millennial time where Jesus is king. Don't you think that's what they were thinking? I mean, who wouldn't think that? People were laying leaves and their jackets and coats and stuff on the road, and Jesus was riding on a donkey. Less than a full week later, he's hanging on the cross. And he dies. He dies. No miraculous coming off the cross. No miraculous the nails popped out or anything like that. He dies. So this whole thing that they thought they understood all of a sudden was just completely thrown into absolute chaos. And they lost their hope. They lost their hope. How many of you are in a Saturday season right now where you're in between something you thought God was going to do, but you haven't seen it yet? Maybe God has promised you something, but you haven't discovered that yet. Maybe it's something exciting. Maybe you've taken a new job or launched a new ministry, and it's exciting, but you're still not really seeing it come together yet because it's still Saturday. Because it's still Saturday. The events of Friday haven't reached the resolution of Sunday, and you're still kind of in Saturday, this Saturday season. How many of you are there right now? We all have had seasons like that. We've all had seasons like that. As I was thinking back over our life, there's so many I could pick from, but like one of them that kind of led right into another, where Molly and I were young when we got married. I just turned 22. She was 21. And of course, we were hoping the Lord would bless us with children. But we weren't in a real big hurry. We thought we would like to take, our math was we'd like to take about 5 years just to be a couple. You know, we were young. We had plenty of time. We just want to be a couple, just enjoy our marriage before we start our family. We had it all figured out, right? So then Christopher came along in year 9. So we had like a 4-year Saturday of like, okay, God, we're ready to start our family now. And through those 4 years, we had to come to the place where like, okay, God, maybe we're not going to be parents. Maybe we are, you know, going to serve you in whatever way, but maybe that won't be it for us. Now we look back and we talk about, oh yeah, it's great, no big deal. You know, Christopher was born at year 9, but years 5, 6, 7, and 8, that's kind of, you don't know where how the story ends. You don't know where this is leading. So it's a Saturday season. Well, then we got this fantastic news that Molly was expecting. This is in year 9 now. And so we're thrilled. We're thrilled that God has chosen to bless us with children when we had, you know, had to pretty much lay that down. Not the desire, but just lay down this thought that, okay, this might not be reality for us. And a lot of you know this story, but we were sitting at home on Friday night, 15 weeks before Christopher was due, 25 weeks into Molly's pregnancy, and her water broke. So we're leaving our home in Kennett Square, driving to Christiana Hospital, and we all of a sudden were thrust into this period where, okay, we thought we were going to be starting a family, but now we're not sure, because we're not sure that this child will survive this event this early in the pregnancy. Now, remember, that's 19 years ago. I mean, nowadays, that's not quite as premature. So then we went into a 5-week-long Saturday where Molly laid in a hospital bed, didn't deliver, thankfully. We just kept holding on, but we still didn't know how this was going to end. Well, I can stand here now, and it's really not that big of a deal because, yeah, we spent 5 weeks in the hospital, but Christopher was born. He had a couple tough months in the hospital. That was another Saturday where we were like, God, how's this going to turn out? Is he going to be normal? Is he going to be healthy? Is he going to get through this? Well, now we look back and we say, it's great. You know, a very intelligent, you know, healthy young man has his whole life ahead of him. But when it's Saturday, you don't know the Sunday story. When you're in the middle of the Saturday season, you don't know the end of the story. And that's when all this other stuff starts happening. Here at Living Hope, we're in a Saturday season right now. Do you realize that? We as a congregation are in a Saturday season right now. In January of this year, we released a group of people with a desire to plant a church. Now, that was exciting, scary. You can put a long list of things there. And now we're in this place of, okay, we're sort of in a transition now, and we're raising up some new leaders, and we're not quite sure what's going to come out of this. As leaders, we believe God directed it. I hope you agree with us. I know maybe not all of you do, but we believe that God was in this. This was his doing, that he directed it. We believe it was his will. But it still hurts. And this was one of the things that was talked about. You remember a number of weeks ago, we had a meeting with the congregation on a Sunday night just to kind of give an update. And this was one of the things that some people were sharing. That they're saying they're still grieving that loss. And we get that. I know we don't talk about that a lot, but we get that. We miss seeing those faces. We really do. Saturdays have a lot of questions. It's the nature of a Saturday season. There's a lot of questions. What's this going to look like? How's it going to go? How's it all going to come into place? So, as a congregation, we're there right now. Now, from my vantage point, I'm starting to see some Sunday joy in a number of areas. I hope you are as well. But that will take different timing for different people. The worship team is in a Saturday right now, where they're going through some new stuff, and they're learning some new lessons, and they're a year from now, we'll be able to look back and see some of the things the Lord is teaching us. I suspect you would agree with me that Saturday rarely makes sense on Saturday. You might even say never. Saturday never makes sense on Saturday. So whatever your situation is this morning, whatever this, I mean, it could be anything. Some are very grievous. I know there are those of you in the room here who've lost a loved one. And that touches off this Saturday season. We're like, what is life going to be like now? It might be unemployment. It might be a health issue. It could be anything where you're thrust into a season of your life where you don't know what how it's going to all end up. What I'd like to do is, as we move towards the end of this, I'm going to go back to two verses. The first one's in John, in the Gospel of John. So if you're in Luke, just page over to John. Go to chapter 20, John 20. And we're going to go to verse 19. This question is at the bottom of your notes. Will our Saturdays be marked by, and we'll get the first word here in John 20, 19. This verse was written about something that was happening on Sunday, but it gives a clear definition as to what the disciples were doing on Saturday. Did you wonder what the disciples were doing on Saturday? Well, I think this verse will tell us. John 20, verse 19. Now, this was Jesus coming and appearing to the disciples, where he says, on the evening of that first day, that was Sunday, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear. The doors locked for fear. The doors were locked for fear of the Jews. Does that give you an idea what they were doing? My guess is that on Saturday they were huddled together in a room somewhere with the door locked because they were scared to death. Now, I'm not knocking them for that. I would have been the same way. I mean, I can only assume that they would be saying that, well, if the Pharisees had Jesus crucified on Friday, our turn is coming on Sunday. Once the Sabbath is over, they're going to come around all of us up, and there's going to be 11 more crosses up on that same hillside. They were afraid. But here's the question. Will our Saturdays be spent in fear? These times where something happens in your life, you didn't see it coming, God thrusts you into a season maybe you weren't prepared for. Will you spend that season in fear? Now let's go back to Luke. Luke 23, we read this earlier, but we want to come back and notice what it says now. Take just a little closer look. And maybe I'm reading more into this verse than is actually here, but I felt the Lord really wanted to focus on this word. Luke 23, 56. Remember we read this about the women. They went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested. They went home, they prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath. Now maybe I'm reading more than that into that than is actually there in this particular setting. I don't know if that was a restful day for them or not. But the scripture says they rested on the Sabbath. And I want to take that word and apply it to this discussion. It's just kind of fascinating to me that the Sabbath, which was Saturday, the day in between the crucifixion and the resurrection, is a day of what? The Sabbath is a day of what? God created at the beginning. The Sabbath would be a day of rest. So there's the question. If you're in a Saturday season, will it be marked by fear or will it be marked by rest? Now, I don't mean to make it sound easy. and rest is not laziness. But for the women, what they wanted to do on Sunday couldn't be done on Saturday. The law didn't permit it. Just kind of the way things worked out. They were forced, I'm sure against their will, to sit still on Saturday. In a Saturday season, can we get to the place where we can rest? I don't mean to make it sound easy. It's not easy. Fear comes so natural in a Saturday season. But let's talk about rest, because we can just blow over that word so quickly. Rest comes from peace. Rest comes from peace. Just a very simple word picture of this. Remember Jesus sleeping in the boat in the middle of the storm? The disciples were freaking out, and Jesus was sleeping. How could he sleep? Because he was at peace. I know you've all experienced sleepless nights, or portions of sleepless nights, where you can't sleep, not because you're not tired, not because you haven't worked hard, but because you're not at peace. When you're not at peace, sleep can be difficult, because your body has trouble resting when you're not at peace. Jesus could sleep in the middle of the storm because he was at peace in the middle of the storm. Jesus could sleep in the middle of the storm because he was at peace in the middle of the storm. Peace comes from faith. Now, this could be a whole sermon. Maybe we'll do this next Sunday. I don't know. Peace comes from faith. Hebrews 11, all these, I'm sorry, I want to go up here. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's a definition of a Saturday. Things that you're hoping for, things that you can't see yet, but you have faith that God is going to bring to bear what he plans to and what he wants to. I hate to give the bad news, but I think most people, especially if you've lived maybe into your 30s and 40s, you've begun to recognize that much of life is a cycle where you're enjoying some Sunday joy, then here comes a Friday, kind of messes everything up, and then Friday leads into a Saturday season like, okay, what next, God? What are we going to do now? And then that peace and that joy of Sunday comes around again. And then you enjoy a season of that Sunday joy and of purpose and clarity. And, oh, man, then here comes another Friday. And it's like, wow, what now? God, we didn't see this coming. Can anybody raise their hand? They've noticed that life tends to be a cycle like that. I mean, you hate to say it, but if you're enjoying Sunday right now, that's great. Enjoy it. It might last for 10 more years. It might last for 10 more minutes. I don't know. But likely, there is a Friday out there where you're going to get a curve thrown at you. Hopefully, as we mature as believers, Fridays don't upset the cart quite as much as they used to. And I know I make that sound easier than it really is. Let me close with this. I need to finish. Cody, you're sitting in the front row. I have to pick on you again. What do we call on our calendar the Friday that Jesus was crucified? What's the name that you see on a calendar? Remember? Yes. You didn't hear him, but he said Good Friday. Good Friday. That's what you call an oxymoron when you realize what happened. At least in the first glance, it seems like an oxymoron. You might ask, Ron, how do we know when we've made it through this Saturday season? Because there's not always like a real distinct time. Sometimes you feel like, oh, I'm living in Sunday now, but then here Saturday comes back again. I thought I was over this, but now here it is again. You could probably answer that question a lot of different ways. How do I know when I've made it through, when God has taught me what he needs to teach me in this Saturday season, and now I can feel like I'm moving forward? I'd suggest one thing. When you get to the point when you can call your Friday a good Friday, you're probably into Sunday now. You with me? When you get to the point where you can call your Friday a good Friday, where some of the most terrible, painful things that are imaginable, someone somewhere decided to call Friday Good Friday in the Easter weekend. And as we look at all that happened there, we can readily agree with that. That was a Good Friday. It was God's purpose. He wanted it just that way. He wanted it to happen that way. It was going to happen that way. There was no changing it. There was no stopping it. It was a Good Friday. Can you say of the Fridays in your life, and maybe even the most recent one that you feel like you're just struggling with right now, can God give you the faith, even if you don't understand what it means, for you to say it was a good Friday? Or maybe you would say it this way. Even though the Friday seemed horrible, the God that is with me and Saturday is a good God. And because of that, it was a good Friday. Because God was there. It was his plan. It was his purpose. He allowed it, although it caught me completely off guard. I never saw it coming. He knew it all along. And if I'm in this Saturday season right now, early in the season, late in the season, whatever, the God that allowed Friday to happen is with you on Saturday, even though you're still waiting for this thing to make sense. I hope that connects with you this morning. I know there are some of you here on Saturday. I know there are. I know some of your stories. But let me just say again what I said earlier. Saturday doesn't usually make sense on Saturday. It's not until about maybe Monday that you look back and you're like, you know what? I can see now what God was doing there. I can see what he was breaking in me. I can see what he was strengthening in me. I can see what he was teaching me. As we close this morning, a couple things. I'm gonna have a time where I'm gonna invite any of you who feel you're in a Saturday season right now. Maybe it's just a little thing. Maybe it's a huge thing. To come, and we're just going to pray over you. But I want to add something to this response. If you're here this morning, you're a life group leader, I would ask you just to spend a little time with the Lord and ask him to kind of review with you the people in your group and who of them might be in a Saturday season of some sort. And then ask how you can come alongside of them in a personal way and just encourage them, strengthen them. Or, if you're just sitting here this morning and you have a friend in this body that you know is going through a Saturday season, could you maybe give them a phone call? Just connect with them and say, look, I mean, I know your story. You're my close friend. I know what you're going through. I want to pray with you. I know this is a tough season right now for whatever reason. God is doing something or brought something or has prohibited something or whatever. Could you do that? Do you know how much more valuable that ministry will be than just kind of like Sunday morning, like a 5-minute prayer thing? So if you're a life group leader, I'm asking you to participate in this. Not this morning, but you can after the service if you want, but to participate in this ministry and as a part of the body. If you have a close friend that you know is going in, and is in a Saturday season, they're going through that, Maybe you have a close friend that's actually still in the Friday. The Friday is still happening. They've not even made it to Saturday yet. Give them a phone call, have breakfast together, hang out with them, and just listen to them, pray with them, whatever the Lord directs you to do. Okay? So, Brent, can you grab that CD that we looked at earlier with the instrumental stuff on it? We'll just put some instrumental music on. We're going to be done soon, I promise. First thing I want to do, let's stand for a change of position. I'll invite you to stand. I invite you to close your eyes. The first thing I'd like you to do is take just a couple minutes here. Go back into your memory banks and remember some Saturday seasons that the Lord has brought you through. They're history now. You understand them. You got it down pat. You made it through. You survived. You lived to tell about it. Just remember those right now. Just kind of refresh in your memory. What was the Friday event? What was Saturday like? And what did God teach you through that? Just take a couple minutes. Just kind of do that kind of, you know, light before your eyes thing. Remembering stories of God's faithfulness? Are you remembering how, looking back on it, it had a purpose, it had a plan, but at that moment, it was messed up? Are you remembering those things? Are you remembering those times? Now, if you're in some Saturday season right now, take the faithfulness that you remember from the previous seasons and overlay it on this one. You don't know how this one is going to be settled. You don't know the answers. But just let the Spirit of God encourage you in this moment by causing you to remember His goodness. His goodness in the past to you. The way He's brought you through previous Saturday seasons. Father, the word says that your mercies are new every morning, that your faithfulness is great. Your word says you never leave us, you never forsake us, not even on Saturday. Saturday is not a day off for you. It's not a weekend day for you where you don't report for work. God, remind us of your faithfulness. Now, if you're in a Saturday season right now and you're thinking about that, I want to ask you one other question. Can you remember? See, we want to fight against this forgetfulness thing. Can you remember a word that God gave you, maybe at the beginning or at some point, of a promise to deliver you or strengthen you or rescue you? Can you remember even a brief moment when you knew that God was in this, or that He had asked you to take the step that you've taken? But now you're kind of confused. Can you remember that moment? Just ask the Lord to just settle that firmly in your mind, that word He spoke to you, that word of encouragement, that word of yes, this is what I'm doing, or this is what I want you to do. Remember that word. Father, I pray for your words to us to be firmly seated in our memory. You said to the disciples, Jesus, on numerous occasions, I am going to be killed. And after I'm killed, after I'm crucified, I'm going to rise again. Lord, but because of all the Saturday grief, they completely forgot about that. God, set firm in our memory those words that you've spoken to us. And set firm in our memory the words that our friends might come alongside of us and say to us now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I'm just going to give this invitation. If you feel like this was for you this morning, I know not everybody's in a Saturday season, Unfortunately, some of us, some of you, may feel like this is a Sunday season for you. That's awesome. But if you feel like this is a Saturday season, I'm just going to ask you to come on up. Just walk up to the front here. I want to pray a prayer over you, and then we'll be available to pray with you following the service. Are you in a Saturday season right now? Might be a big one, might be a little thing. Keep that going, Brent. I wish I could be more positive, but I need to say again that Saturdays rarely make sense on Saturday. They rarely make sense. Father, I pray for these children of yours that are standing before you right now. God, you love them more than we can begin to comprehend. We sang about that earlier, how amazing your love is. Lord, every one of them has a story. Every one of them has their own Friday, their own Saturday season. Everyone has their own Sunday that they're hoping for, the Sunday they're envisioning. Lord, sometimes our Sundays turn out the way we envision them to turn out. Other times they turn out quite different. Father, I pray for each of these individuals, Lord, that you would remind them of your faithfulness this morning. God, that you would remind them of your goodness. Remind them that you can be trusted on Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday. Every season of our lives, Lord, we can trust you in what you're doing. Holy Spirit, I pray for your empowering, your anointing, your strengthening. Cause faith to rise up, God. Cause faith to rise up, faith that leads to peace and peace that leads to rest. That we can actually rest even on a Saturday, even during a Saturday season, that we can rest. Cause faith to rise up, Father. Cause faith to rise up, I pray. Lord Jesus, we love you, Jesus. We need you. We need you in every season of our lives. Every season of our lives, we need you, Lord. Right. As we dismiss, is Sharon with you, or is Sharon? Oh, she's up here. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I looked right past you. And then Molly, can you join me? I would like to just kind of be able to pray briefly. If you're okay with that, I mean, you're free to go if you need to go, but just to pray briefly over each of you. But the rest of you, you're free to go. And if you need to pick up your children, you are free to do that as well. And let's see, I'm looking around here. Greg and Lois, would you join us in praying for individuals? We're just going to pray briefly over you. We're going to pray a blessing over you. All right. God bless you. You're dismissed.